I'm John Strum, and this is a Real Talk MS Ectrums Extra. With about 9,000 MS researchers and clinicians in attendance, the 2023 combined ECTRIMS-ACTRIMS meeting in Milan was the largest MS research conference in the world. During the meeting, I had an opportunity to talk with some of the best and brightest minds in MS research and clinical practice. This is your invitation to listen in on one of my ECTRIMS Extra conversations. I'm at ECTRIMS 2023 in Milan, and I'm speaking with Dr. Jiwan Oh. Dr. Oh is a neurologist, scientist, and the medical director of the Barlow Multiple Sclerosis Program at St. Michael's Hospital in Ontario, Canada. And although we've spoken before, it's especially nice to be here with you in person.
It is, and thank you for having me, John.
Well, I know you're quite busy at this conference. You're giving at least three presentations that I know about, and your work on the extension study of a potential new disease-modifying therapy is being presented at the poster session. So I'm hoping you can explain what an extension study is, and then tell us what you learned in the extension study for tolebrutinib.
Sure. So an extension study is usually after the initial phase of a clinical trial. So in a clinical trial of MS or many other disease states, people are usually enrolled and they're randomized to either the experimental drug or placebo or an active control. And people are followed very closely for a pre-specified duration. And after that initial double-blind period, if people are willing, they will enter into an extension study where most people will be on the experimental molecule. And the point of an extension study is for a longer period, you're able to monitor people to see if the clinical efficacy that was seen in the original double-blind period of the clinical trial is maintained, and importantly, to see if there are any new safety signals. And so for tolebrutinib, in a phase 2b trial that took place over a period of 16 weeks, there was evidence of clear efficacy of the highest dose of tolebrutinib at 60 milligrams that was used on the primary endpoint, which was the formation of new gadolinium-enhancing lesions. And so after that initial double-blind period where people were actually randomized to many different doses of tolebrutinib and there was a placebo run-in and run-out period, people who were willing were invited to enter the extension phase. And during the extension phase, people initially in Part A were on the same dose of tolebrutinib they were on in the double-blind period. But then at a certain point, the company made the decision that everybody would continue on the highest dose. And so that's what people have been on, 60 milligrams for now 3 years. And so what we've been monitoring is how people are doing clinically and importantly, if there are any new safety signals. And the good news is up to the 3 year mark, it seems like the clinical efficacy pieces were maintained, in that people continue to have a low annualized relapse rate in comparison to the year prior to enrolling in the study. With respect to MRI measures of disease activity, MRI measures of disease activity remain low during the extension period. In terms of disability scores remain stable throughout the three-year extension period. And then with respect to safety, there were no new safety concerns that have been identified to date. So this is all good news.
It is good news. You know, with over 20 approved disease-modifying therapies for treating MS that are available today, why are clinicians excited about this potential new category of DMTs?
So tolebrutinib falls into a category of drug called the Bruton's tyrosine kinase or BTK inhibitors. And there's many different BTK inhibitors being tested right now. So it's a really interesting time in MS because I don't think there's ever been a time in the field when simultaneously there's so many different drugs that belong to the same family are being tested. So lots of excitement, as you said. And the reason is because we know that BTKIs, at least theoretically, can have a beneficial effect on B cells in MS, which we know based on the existence of therapies that target B cells are a very important player in MS pathophysiology. But the reason why there's added excitement, because right now we do have many treatments that, can profoundly impact B cells and are really efficacious for at least the relapse biology in MS. But with BTKIs, the reason there's so much excitement is because many of them can get into the brain. And at least in animal studies and a lot of in vitro studies, there's evidence that these BTK inhibitors affect a type of cell in the brain called microglia. And the reason we focus so much on microglia is because we know that this is a major driver of non-relapse disease biology or CNS compartmentalized disease biology, which we think is responsible for the slow progression that we see in many people living with MS. So the hope is that not only do BTKIs have a very good effect on B cells, but that they get into the brain and beneficially modulate microglia, which we think are a major driver of progressive disease biology. And so it would really meet an unmet need in the field clinically if they do actually have an effect based on clinical trial data.
You're giving a presentation on the future of MS care, specifically how biomarkers might be used in clinical practice. So can you share some of your thoughts on how biomarkers might impact someone's clinical experience?
Yes. So, in any field, I think it's important to first note the immense progress that we've made because, I think in MS, it's an illustration of a chronic neurological disease where in just two decades, we've probably, increased the number of treatments that we have by tenfold. And so that is profound. However, there's a lot of things that we recognize we need improvement on. And one of them is better ways to monitor people with MS. And what I mean by that is, as people with MS will know, when they go into their neurologist's office, we have our old tools, the reflex hammer and the tuning fork. And we do our best to examine people neurologically, but it's so clear that the neurological exam is flawed and we need better tools clinically to try to evaluate how someone is doing with respect to their disease activity. And again, we're lucky because we do have MRIs, but it's clear that the clinical MRIs that we use now are not really capturing everything that we need to. So this is where better biomarkers of monitoring disease may have an important role in the future. And there's lots of potential candidates, including even smartphone apps, digital tools. There's blood tests that may help us better monitor people's disease activity. And then there's some new MRI measures that may help us in the near future. So this is where there's a huge unmet clinical need. And this is where I think there's a lot of hope for biomarkers in the field.
You're also leading a presentation on approaching precision neurology. Can you help us understand what precision medicine is and how precision neurology may benefit someone who's living with MS?
So, I think in a disease like MS, there's so much variability in how individual people will present, what symptoms they'll develop over time, and how their disease will evolve over time. And, as clinicians, we do our best to try to prognosticate and predict in an individual patient in front of us, how someone will do and therefore what therapy would be best for them. Because again, in MS, we're very lucky because we have nearly 25 treatments available. However, to be honest, we're not that good at doing that. And so this is what precision medicine is. It's taking into account many different things about an individual patient's disease state and making the best possible decision with respect to treatment options so that you can optimize clinical outcomes, not just in a year or 2 years, but, 20, 30 years down the road. So that's I think it's not just an MS, but any chronic disease state. We need to do better at administering precision medicine, which means you need to understand the variability of a disease and make the optimal decisions that will be best for an individual patient. And this is where biomarkers may be able to help us in the future. And we're doing our best to do a good job at this, but there's a lot of room for improvement.
Well, Dr. Jiwon Oh, thank you for all you do to improve the lives of people who are living with MS. It's always great to talk with you. It's especially nice to be here in Milan with you. I'm John Strum, and this Real Talk MS Ectrums Extra was made possible through a grant from Sanofi.